is The Big and Wild Outdoors with your host, Braden Gunn, Jonathan Swindle, and Glenn Kinman.
Got them cheaters on tight?
I got them on somewhere.
I don't know. They're hanging pretty low on that snout there, boy.
I know it. I feel like I want to feel like a grandpa.
Have you ever noticed that, Randy? Good morning, everybody. Braden Gunn, Randy Price, of course, Glenn Kinman, and Bill George in here. Jonathan,
we have the bodies on fire.
I had to take the day Mary off Maloney. Today because of this guy interrupting him when he was on the air. And no, he's up north and doing some hunting up there on the lease or something. But isn't it funny how when you get those cheaters like that, for some reason, you automatically turn into grandpa? You just kind of pull them down lower on your nose because you can see over them. And you only need them for up close, so you just kind of hang them low.
That's right. But Glenn doesn't have much of a nose, though.
I know. Yeah, he's got that little Irish chopper going there, you know? He's got that typical Irish snout going.
That way the arms doesn't have to be as long.
Is that what it is? Well, I just thought it was pretty interesting.
That's what the eye doctor said. Put them down here on the end. You'll be all right. So when I do wear them, I say, doc says I'm just trying to follow the doctor's orders. Put them on the end.
That's why I went with the transitions. You can just keep them up and not have to worry about it and just look down.
At any
the progressives.
Yeah, progressives. Yeah.
Well, I just had to put them on to make sure that I don't see any blemishes on my nice little arrowhead that you dropped on the floor.
Sorry, I didn't.
Been on the ground for probably who knows how many thousands of 50, years.
50,000 years and I broke
unbroke
it.
Unbroke and everything else. And then I share it with Braden this morning. And
lift
what's
that
he
up
do?
So I can see it. That's a beauty, man. Is that that's the real deal.
That's the real deal.
Yeah, that's not something somebody made in their garage.
No.
Now, this one here. Somebody was surviving off of it.
Well, he's got more than one. He's got three of them in there. He's got one. I thought they used to call those bird points, but
now, are these Florida?
Yeah, these are all Florida. This here's a Weedon Island point. Mm-hmm. It's just got the tip that's broke off of it a little bit, but that's a Weedon Island point.
Now, when you say Weedon Island point,
well, that's because they're most common.
The Calusas over here.
Yeah.
On
yeah. But this one here, I don't know what it is. I think it was probably a youngin testing or practicing his chipping skills.
But he got the best piece of flint.
Yeah, it's really nice.
I mean,
piece.
That's really nice. And
it's just an unfinished piece, or it could have been
bopper.
Finished out and it broke the tip off a little bit. But Mollowed now it's a blunt. It's that blunt hit.
They could have been using it to skin with. Or
yeah, they could have used it as a scraper as well.
You know, I was watching out at the Big Buck Expo last week when we were out there. The gentleman who did the Survivor thing, Bill, you know, he was out there and was on Naked and Afraid, and he was doing the napping, and he had a big round rock of like solid flint, and showed how he flaked it off with another rock, and then he would use an antler and start, you know, trimming it down. But he knocked off one flake, and it was one of those pieces of like obsidian where you can almost see through it. It's so clear and so thin. Mm-hmm. And then he showed how took a piece of raw naga hide that was laying there and just kind of just lightly just went cheep down it, you know. So it doesn't look like it would do much, but with this little piece right here, you could literally skin an entire buffalo.
And that's what they did.
And he went like he just went right across that and didn't even hardly make a line in it and picked it up. It was cut in two pieces. I mean, sharper than any razor blade I've ever seen.
It's some sharp stuff.
My Uncle Kenny Heron, he had one of the best collections in the state of Florida, or state of Michigan, rather. That's where I was raised. And when he died, my father would have loved to have had it, but nobody in the family offered it to him. They just put it up for sale. He'd have bought it.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. So it got out of the family, but it was a huge collection of Michigan arrowheads.
I found a few. I found when I was a kid birding around with cousins up in Kentucky. I found some in some creek bottoms that were really nice. And the best one, believe it or not, I think I've told this story before, but the best one I ever found on a in my hog pen. You know, my big pigs, we had a 50-gallon oil drum, and at the bottom of it, you have a hog waterer. You know, they hit it with their nose, and mm-hmm. the water comes out automatically, and they can drink as much as they want to. Well, every week, I'd have to go out there and scoop out all the dirt and everything, one of those great little chores you have to do, and clean them out. And one day, I, like, flick out this big black rock, and I look at it, and it was this perfect obsidian broadhead that was in there. I don't know how it got in there. I don't know if they kicked it in there or had it in their mouth or whatever, but it got in there, and it was I had it for years.
Yeah, you'd have to throw that in there so you would get out there and do that more often.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. I'll put this in there, and he'll think he found something. Yeah. He'll be out here every day.
He might have. He's sneaky old.
You see the look on his face. He's actually thinking that might have happened.
Sneaky old codger. Rodney wouldn't be above that. He'd be out there, you found it. Man, you should go out there and dig out even more. It'd be even better. But I haven't found, I don't have the eye for it. I have a friend of mine, Tom, who is a deputy sheriff these days. And he was that guy that if you're walking in the woods, I don't care if you were in the middle of the Ocala National Forest or standing on a creek side of the Peace River, he could walk and find every shark tooth within 50 yards. There's one.
Once you get
There's one right there.
Once
there's
you get the mindset and the identification in your mind set up and it's just burned in, when you after you find your first one or two, then it's a little easier to spot them.
I'm like, how are right here where this radio station is? It used to be kind of a swamp area out here, big swamp area, and it was like salt flats, kind of. The tide used to come in and flow in and out of here. And we were out here one day, we were dove hunting, and he looks down and goes, hey, check it out, man. Picks up a big megalodon tooth sticking out of the ground. I walked past it 10 times, never saw it. And he's like, man, look at this tooth I found out here. It was perfect. It was white, you know, still had the enamel on it. Because it wasn't in mud, you know, so it stayed white. And I was like, what the? And I'm looking around like, are there more out here? And he's looking around and he goes, oh, here's another one right here. Here's a small one. Look, here's a tiger shoot there. And this whole time, you know, bull bats are flying all over the place. And the whippoorwills when they would come in. And we found a bunch of them right here where this radio station is. But Glenn is that guy that I know who could walk through the woods and do the same thing with arrowheads in a 50-yard radius. And to prove my point, one of the greatest things I've ever seen or witnessed in my life, here we are, 3,000 miles away from Florida in Wyoming. We had just got done at our guide's house. We were there. He had a huge collection of arrowheads and spear points and all kinds of stuff that he had found from the Plains Indians out there. And so Glenn was like, wow. And of course, he talks the talk. Well, this is kind of like the Whedon tip, and this is more like a bird point, and blah, blah, blah. And he knows all the lingo. So they're in there, blah, 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 and about arrowheads. And I was bored.
I actually put Braden to sleep.
I was so bored. I was like, blah, blah, paleo, whatever, yada, yada, Jurassic, yada. I mean, it was just like there. And they were talking like two scientists. You know, it's like being in the room with two scientists. It's driving me nuts. So let's go. We're going to go out. He wants to show us where the Indian mounds, the teepee rings are up on the hill, where the Indians, year after year, as they migrated around with the buffalo, would camp in the same spot. And they left the rocks that they held down the edges of the teepee with, they just left them in place. So they wouldn't have to search around for them. They can be like, oh, this is where we were last year. The rocks are still here. And they're still there.
Kept the place flat.
Yeah. Well, it's on the very top of the hill.
It was a high climb, that's for sure, in that Jeep.
Yeah, and we got up to the top, and they're talking. I'm in the back, and they're still blah, 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 arrowhead, blah, 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 spear point, blah, 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 arrowhead, the whole time. And I'm not kidding you. God's honest truth. We get there, turn the Jeep off. Here they are. You can see the teepee rings kind of out in front of us, and Glenn, I'll be darned, opens the door, takes two steps out, bends over, and goes, hey, found a bird point right here. Look here. There's an Indian right here.
Yeah.
What hadn't been out of the car 15 seconds and
Kelly
found
said
an
he's
arrowhead.
Never found one up there.
And Kelly's
never
going,
found anything
I've walked,
up there.
I have walked these 30 years. I've been walking these teepee rings and never found anything. And you step out 2 feet and boom, pick one up.
He was looking too close to the teepee rings. You need to be a little farther out.
Oh, I don't know. It was just there.
And you know what? He goes, you can keep that. And Glenn goes, no, no, this is yours. It's been so long since you ever seen one or never found anything here. This is yours. And it was a little teeny tiny. It was about the size of a
it was about the size of a dime.
Yeah,
dime it was real or small nickel. And I figured they were up that high. They were shooting at something's flying up there. So.
I was like, how in the world did you even see that? Because there's rocks everywhere. And out of that one place, boop, beep, beep, there you go right there. Well, there's a bird point right there.
But once your eye, like you said earlier, once your eye starts getting tuned to looking for different things, it's how many times have you seen a deer out over 100 yards and all you see is the leg of a deer through the trees? And it's just something that's at a slightly different angle than everything else out there. And it's like, pick your eye out and then you start looking and get the binoculars out and sure enough, there's a deer.
Train your brain, I guess. Yep. That's all there is to it. But I really was astonished. When he did that, I was just like, you just spent an hour and a half talking about these things. You step out of the truck and boop, you pick one up. So now, screw the teepee rings. We're all looking around, looking at the ground. We're all walking around going, well, there's got to be more. There's got to be 100.
What he never told you, he had one palmed in his hand, and he just dropped it as he got out of the truck.
That wasn't the case.
That's how he got the name Legend. He dropped it out of his hand. No, but that was really interesting that time. Now I got to ask you. Isn't there a law against picking up artifacts?
Yes.
When it comes to the state of Florida?
Yes, there is. And
I'm not trying to get you arrested.
No, that's okay, because it's legal. But on any kind of park, state lands, and stuff like that, you can't. If you see them, you just got to leave them lay. Private property, if you have the owner's permission, or if it's your own property itself, then of course you can pick them up.
So if I was walking through Citrus Management area and I found one, I got to leave it.
Got to leave it.
Even if it's Weed really cool, Island,
got to leave it.
Weed Island, of course, you got to leave
it. Yeah, but then it's lost again forever. It gets kicked by somebody's foot, and down the road it goes, gets buried underground, and nobody ever gets to appreciate it.
Well, that's what you would hope. I mean, if I found one that was that nice or something like that, I would probably go stick it somewhere way down deep in the earth, because you know the next guy that goes along and kicks it up is not going to throw it back down.
One of the big problems we have is when it's legal.
Then you got a lot of people digging everything up.
You got people digging stuff up to try. And I mean,
I'm not a digger. I'm going to walk out there on the farm, and if I see something laying there, I'll pick it up. But I ain't bringing a shovel out there and just start digging holes looking for them.
Well, I understand that. It's the same reason why you can't own an eagle feather. Because how do you explain, I just found it on the ground? Well, a guy that just shot one a week ago and has a bunch of them could say the same thing. Well, I found it dead in the woods or whatever.
Well, we'll see. They come off the endangered species list. We'll see if that changes.
They're talking about it. And now they're reevaluating the panther. So I don't know what's going on these days. Anyway, we are the Big and Wild Outdoors. Welcome back, everybody. We'll talk a little bit more Big Buck Expo when we come back from break. We're brought to you by G5 Outdoors and Load Runner Trailers. We're here. We'll be back.
It's time to work smarter, not harder, with Mahindra, the toughest tractor on earth that doesn't rely on diesel exhaust fluids or diesel particle filters to meet Tier 4 emission standards. Right now, you can get up to $6,500 cash back or zero interest up to 84 months, plus a 7-year powertrain warranty on select models. Save right now on the world's number one selling tractor, Mahindra.
Head over to Grove Equipment Services on State Road 60 in Bartow and East Baker Street in Plant City today for a great tractor and utility vehicle package. And learn more about the toughest tractors on earth at groveequipment.biz. Offer with approved credit. See dealer for details. Program restrictions may apply.
Join Mark Charles Wednesday nights at 11:05 for Outside Interference Wrestling Radio. Mark Charles hosts guest appearances by pro wrestling's biggest stars and takes your listener phone calls to get your take on the latest current events in the world of professional wrestling. Tampa Bay's Business Address Money Talk 1010 dims the lights for Outside Interference Wrestling Radio every Wednesday night at 11:05 p.m. Highlights and interviews on OutsideInterferenceRadio.com.
Ace Heating and Cooling is a family-owned and operated business that gives honest, reliable, and affordable AC repair and maintenance on all makes and models of air conditioners for residential and commercial. Ace always gives free estimates on new installations and replacements, and they send out technicians, ladies and gentlemen, not salespeople, so you're going to get flat rate pricing, and you'll know exactly what it's going to cost you before they even get ready to do the job. Ace Heating and Cooling evaluates your AC based on your home, not your wallet. That's right. For your office or for your home, you need to give Ace Heating and Cooling a call today and let them do what they do best for you. 813-657-8818. 813-657-8818. It's Ace Heating and Cooling.
The family-owned and operated Smokin' Aces Steakhouse offers their award-winning barbecue in Plant City, Florida. If you're looking for finger-looking good, stick-to-your-ribs barbecue, then Smokin' Aces Steakhouse is where it's at. Top-rated by TripAdvisor, KCBS Registered, Reader's Choice Award winner, and Best Taste of Plant City winner for 2 years. Smokin' Aces Barbecue. It's all good.
At Arctic Cat, every day starts with a challenge. A challenge to design machines capable of conquering all types of terrain in all types of conditions. That challenge has been answered with the 2016 lineup of Arctic Cat side-by-sides and ATVs. And we also know that you use these machines for more than just adventure. You depend on their muscle, their carrying capacity, and their reliability to get stuff done. We call this usability. And in 2016, the Arctic Cat ATVs pack more usability and more rideability than any machines we've ever built. Whether you are challenging the terrain, challenging the elements, or challenging yourself to get the most out of every ride, Arctic Cat has the ATVs and side-by-sides that are up to the task. With more rideability, more usability, and just more flat-out ability to handle any challenge that comes your way. Arctic Cat. Share our passion.
Hey, this is Jonathan. Most of you know me as the co-host of Big and Wild, but I also want to talk to you about my shop, Arrowhead Archery. We're one of the oldest shops in the country and stock brands from Prime, Matthews, Hoyt, Obsession, and PSE. We also have all the accessories to outfit your equipment, plus a level 3 instructor for our youth and adult programs, and regular league nights for everyone. Check us out at 10818 East US Highway 92, Tampa, Florida, arrowheadarcheryshop.com, and our phone number is 813-621-4279. Stop by and see us.
The event.
The big one.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Big and Wild Outdoors. Glenn Kim and Braden Gunn, Bill George, Randy Price. Jonathan's up north, up there in the frozen tundra around Tallahassee. He's up there this weekend, so he's having a good time out in the woods, I'm sure, up there. But I wanted to say we got some great guests that are going to be calling in on the show a little bit later on, so please don't go anywhere. And if you do happen to miss the show, you know you can always go to bigandwild.com. That's bigandwild.com, and click on the past shows, and you can listen to it on your smartphone or tablet or computer or whatever it is you want
to do. Thank you, Bill George, for staying up late to get, it all in there.
They're all back current again.
Yay!
I have in my new house, I have internet access. I've managed to unbox a computer.
Woohoo!
I'm back in business.
Well, it's a scary thing for the FWC.
Yeah. It was so quiet around here for about a month. But no, we have a lot of people that we had to thank from the Big Buck Expo who came by and, of course, did interviews and talked to us on the air. Of course, Eddie Salter and Eva Shockey both came by, and as well as a few other guests. And they all want to hear themselves on the radio, so they're all like, when are you going to put it up? We want to hear it.
It's there now, so they'll have an opportunity to listen to it.
Yeah, so you can go check that out. But we got Benny Malares, who's going to be calling in a little bit later on. He's with Yoyito, Yoyito Reels, which is something really interesting. I've seen people doing it for a million years. I've never tried it. So he's going to give us a call, give us a rundown. And then we're supposed to hear from our old buddy, Sean Alorda, who's going to call with some exciting news. And then a little bit later, we're going to listen to, hopefully we'll get to talk to Bob Hope, who has been in the news this past week, as a lot of you fishermen and hunters know. And we'll get his side of the story, what happened out at Crescent Lake. So it'll be a good time. And then we may have a few more people that are going to be calling in today. So maybe a few more surprises. It'll all be good.
Maybe. Yeah, it'll be an interesting show. But, you know, we did have a good time last week. If you missed the Buck Expo, they're going to change the date for this coming 2018, Braden. So it'll be in August instead of July, as it's always been. But this 2018, it'll be August 10th through the 12th.
I wonder why they're doing that. Why are they? What was the marketing plan on that?
I don't know. I think they're adding something else into the venue as well prior to it, so it extended that date. But I think it'll be a good time. I think it'll be fine. It won't. Apparently, it's not going to be good for Bill because he does a lot with the with some kind of program the FWC has that particular week of the month, but.
That's right. Do you go down down south?
Well, they generally have a number of alligator training seminars that go on, and we're one of the few vendors that make we are the only vendor who makes every show, at least for the last 3 or 4 years. We're the only one that goes to every show and training seminar. And So
you're going to be busy? You can't show up?
Well, I have a feeling
Bill's have a few hours I may have to miss or something like that.
Well, other Bill will be there, I'm sure.
Well, right? We'll get it covered.
Yeah. Won't Bill be there?
His Bill, buddy Bill? George.
Yeah, Bill and George. Is George Bill? Is Bill going to be there? Georgie Billy?
The other side of Bill will be there, George.
Yeah, the other side. So, August 10th through the 12th is next year's Big Buck Expo.
Right.
10th through 12th. That's not bad.
Yeah, I think it'll be good, and there's nothing wrong with changing it up. I think everybody will be back from vacation and getting ready to get back into school, so it'll be a good time. And one of the things that you always, when you go every year, you have a lot of the same vendors that come back, but one thing I was really happy to see was the Hunter Safety System with our good friend Jay.
Yeah, he was there.
And last year,
you brought the whole family down. Wife and kids, everybody was out.
Everybody worked that booth that he had. But
well, you got to understand, if people don't know, he ran the Big Buck Expo for a lot of years.
Well, 14 years ago.
14 years. But I just thought it was funny. I said, isn't it nice to be just where you can just sit in your own booth and not have to hear on that walkie-talkie every 5 minutes, I need power over here on booth 16. It's not getting power, and the speaker's not working, and the food vendor's running out of hot dogs. And he's like, it's really nice just to be here.
And yeah, not just have to be part of the crowd. So,
but it was good.
Last year, as I told Jay, as I, you know, one of those embarrassing moments that you have is when you go up to your stand and you set it all up the night before, the evening before, and you put up a couple of reflectors and say, this is where it's at. Yeah, I can find it.
Yeah.
Only to park, and there's a little bit of fog in the morning, and you're walking down, and you got your light, and you're looking, and you find your first couple of little markers, and then when you get to the area that you thought your stand was at, and you can't find it, it's a frustrating moment. You're sitting around saying, man, I'm walking all over looking for my stand, and I was thinking, like 2 years ago, I ought to get one of those lifelines that has the reflective striping in it that hangs from the top of your tree. And so I went ahead and picked up one of them while I was there. So it was,
that's probably a good idea.
It is. It was definitely going to be great for me this year because I'll have it and I can put it wherever I, you know, with my stand. So I'll be able to see the tree from a long distance because he was describing it to me. And I said, this is what I needed last year, whether I need it this year or not, but it's better to have it and not need it.
That's right.
Years ago, I bought some little gadget where you had a little remote control. It was a
light. I remember that.
It was a light that you hung, and it just was a little red light. You hang it, and then if you can't find your stand, you get in there, you could hit a button, and it starts flashing red light. And
I can tell you what was flashing red last year, and that was my head because I was really frustrated with myself because you're walking around in your area.
You feel like you've wasted 4 hours.
Yeah.
Literally.
And the more you start moving around, then you start saying, man, I'm contaminating the area. I'm spooking everything off for 100 miles walking and stomping through these leaves. So then I just said, you know what? I'll just stand right here. It'll be light here in about 30 more minutes. And then I'll find my tree and I'll climb up in it and just sit there. But again, you know, that impatient side of me says, no, I think it's going to be over here. Let's walk over there. And sure enough, that's where it was at. But I climbed that tree and I sat there for 4 hours and nothing came by, and I blamed it on the fact that I just made all that noise in the morning, run everything off. So this year I went ahead and picked one up while I was there, and then for the money, it was worth it.
In the long run, it'll be worth it.
Exactly,
because
right.
If you only have to use it once or twice, it's still worth it. So,
and another thing, you're getting two uses out of it. One, you're helping identify where your tree stand is. And the second is that it's part of the lifeline system.
It's a lifeline, yeah.
And you can attach it to your heart, your safety vest, and you're good.
Yeah, that red light ain't going to help you keep your fall out of that dang thing, man. How long did you use the little red light for?
Probably one season.
And then the battery went dead.
No,
I quit working. The thing is, of all the stuff you accumulate, I'm sure I still have it in a box of hunting stuff.
Probably. I was going to say it probably hung dangling on that.
Well, poor Susie, she's unpacking everything, so she'll find it for you, Bill.
I was going to say it's probably still attached to the tree stand. It doesn't work, but it just, you know, I just don't feel like taking it off.
No, my brothers made fun of me. I got a hold of some of that DOT tape that somebody was putting DOT tape down the side of flatbed trailers. Well, that rail that the straps hooked to was a little bit narrower than the DOT standard tape. And so they were sitting there on a paper cutter and cutting it, you know, about 3/8 of an inch off of every strip that they had. And it was like, whoa, what you doing with that? You know,
Bill,
they were throwing
it
away.
You can throw my name out there. I gave it to you.
No, but I turned around, I cut and saved all that stuff, and now I have 6-inch pieces of DOT tape, about 3/8 of an inch. It looks like a landing light.
That stuff does glow.
Oh, my
gosh. It's really good stuff. But, you know, the good thing is you know, with the rope, it serves two purposes. So the tape only serves one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you still got to do it that way.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can do it to find it, I think, is a good idea. I was never a big fan of the cat eyes. Remember, I remember guys walking through the woods and thumbtacking every other tree all the way out, you know, trying to keep the trail going, or which a lot of people thought was a lot better than the old surveyor's tape. That
Oh, you know, it is.
Oh, God, man. He used to just, I remember walking through management areas and it just looked like Christmas time. It'd be stuff green, orange, you know, pink, whatever, all over the place.
I pull every piece of that I can out of the woods.
Well, then you got some poor guy stranded out there. He's a, I think this is the way out. I could have swore I put some pink out here, but I don't know where it is now. That would not be a good thing. You got some poor schmo lost out there.
You ever have anybody rearrange the marking tapes?
No, not on me. I've never used it. I've never been one of those persons who's used it. I've always gone in the woods thinking, if it takes 5 hours, 6 hours to find my way back out, then so be it. You know what I mean? I don't need to know right in, right out kind of deal. Because I usually would go where people weren't going anyway. You wouldn't find any surveyor's tape in a lot of places that we used to go. So, you know,
I think it's good to at least mark it to give someone an opportunity to know that there's someone else there. Hunting, so they find something else. But it also could be one of those things, well, I wonder why they're down there hunting. Must be a good spot. Let's walk down there and look.
That's the other thing. That's one of the reasons why I didn't want somebody, you know, hopping along behind me.
But the bright eyes, you can walk through the woods today, and there's still some there that's probably been in the tree for 10 or 15 years.
At least.
Because I see that up there in Illinois as well. And, of course, hunting up in North Florida last year with Jonathan and his crew, you could find everything because all you had to do is look for the old bright eyes or a piece of what's left of the tape, and you could find a stand somewhere in that vicinity. But it is that Lifeline system with the hunter safety and all. Great products. If you're looking to get into a tree stand, it is getting that time of the year to break it out, to check it, oversee it, make sure that there's no cracked welds, no bent pieces anywhere on it. The cables are still good, whatever the case may be. Just inspect those things.
Sharpen the jaws.
If they got a little rust on it, check it out. If there's got a little bit of doubt in it, throw it away.
Don't
give it to somebody else and just throw it out in the scrap pile and move on and buy another one. Because I know they're... Tree stands are a little pricey these days, but what's the value of a life? It's definitely worth more than I'm going to take my chances with this stand again. One more season. Just one more season.
You know, everybody has that horror story. Even when we were at the Big Buck Expo and we were talking about the gentleman on talking about tree stands. After we were off the air, you wouldn't believe how many people are standing around there talking about horror stories about seat breakage, or you know, losing the foot pad, or you know, it falling down and having to skinny down a tree somewhere, or try to figure out how you're going to get out of this darn thing with all your stuff, or do I leave it and come back? I mean, it's all happened. Close calls have happened to everybody. If you've ever climbed up a tree, near misses, broken limbs, all that kind of stuff, it's happened to everybody.
Yeah, there's always a, and that's what I say, if you do it long enough, something, you're going to experience some kind of an issue. But thankfully, in our archery clinic that's coming up in August the 1st is going to be our archery clinic starts up again. We teach that. It's going to be at First to Notice Assassin Missionary Baptist Church. They're off of McIntosh Road, north of I-4. If you would like to get a little more information about it, you can contact Dennis at 813-389-3678, or you can go to our Big and Wild Facebook page. I just emailed you that flyer, Braden.
It's already on there. I've had it on there all week.
Well, man, you're ahead of the program.
Well,
I appreciate that.
Well, I'm trying to help a brother out.
Thank you very much. But
well, I knew it was coming up.
That's one of the things that we go over, a good topic, and the guy that teaches that is one of those guys that experienced a fall, broken ankle, and had to have his wife drag him out of the woods to get him to the hospital, and he's still, you know, I think it happened 5 or 6 years ago, and he just had surgery again on his ankle.
Yeah.
I think back in May. So it's one of those things, it's a lingering issue for him. But if it happens to you, what better person to give you a testimony of why you need to inspect? And then, of course, he at the end of the last class says, "Hey, Glenn, I got these climbing sticks and this lock-on. If you wanted, I'm done with lock-ons and climbing sticks. I'm ladder standing everything."
Yeah.
So I don't blame you, but
I don't like those. Hey, I never have liked those.
So now who has them? Bill George, because I gave them all to him.
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah, but if you're 7 or 8 feet off the ground, it's not so bad.
What do you mean?
Those lock-ons, man. I went to one time, and it was the scariest thing I'd ever been in my life. It was about 25, 30 feet off the ground, and when I got up there, there was no way to hook on, nothing to hook up to, and all I had around me was cypress knees sticking up out of the ground. I was like,
just a big pincushion.
You fall out of this, you're impaling on every single one of those things.
Same thing with the ladder stand or a climber.
No.
If you fall out.
Something's going to hurt regardless.
If you fall out. It had that little teeny tiny foot thing. You can only put your feet right next to each other like a duck. And it had a butt pad seat on it. It was probably about 9 inches.
Well, that is
you need to keep you still.
Oh, no. That keeps you squirming all over the place.
Well, there is weight limits on them, Braden. And you might want to get the XL model.
Yeah, I will tell you what.
The S model.
What it will do is keep you from falling asleep. It will keep you from nodding off. Because if you nod off up there, you're dead. There's no end. You're dead.
You have your safety strap
there
on.
There was no safety. There was nothing.
They didn't put a safety strap on
I got
for
up
you.
There, sat down in it, and went, no.
That's
no, this ain't happening.
Fault.
I'm out. Crawled back down, went over, sat, found me a nice spot.
I like ladder stands. I do. But I also like the little hangers because they're very non-conspicuous. I can put them up in a very tight spot, you know.
Yeah, it's not, everybody has their preference.
No, they're crud. I don't like them.
But whenever I archery hunt, and what I use a lock on, and I will use some climbers that are designed for such.
Yes, what you use, Bill George.
Now, when it comes to the ladder stand, it was really I hadn't hunted out of a ladder stand in many years until this past year, and you know, hunting with Courtney up there, it was good because now. You're getting to sit there and you get to tell them, be quiet, don't say nothing. And they actually listen to you.
Yeah.
Well, for the most part.
Double sided, yeah.
Those double ladder stands are great if you have somebody come up and sit with you for a little bit. But when you're up there by yourself, you have room to put your backpack on a seat. Or I hunt with my pistol a lot and I'll have my pistol just sitting there. So everything's kind of got a little place and you can lean one way and take a little nap and. Lean the other way.
That's the most important part. The storage part really comes secondary to Bill George. It's how much room I got to spread out and lay. I could just scoop my butt over just enough to lay my head on the other side.
But unfortunately, in those hangers, I have fallen asleep and everything else, and I manage. You just strap yourself in tight for a little bit.
Wake up hanging by your waist.
Yeah,
I've never had a problem.
If you had that dream of falling,
yeah,
that would be the nightmare.
I've never had a problem one time with a ladder stand tilting to the side or anything like that. Because trust me, that's the easiest one to try. That's the easiest one to test. All you have to do is walk up to it,
but
try to twist it on the tree or try to move the base.
And here's the problem with the ladder stand: getting it attached the very first time.
Well, that's usually
and that's the
smart
same
man is a two-man job.
And that's the same as putting your sticks against a tree. You still got to climb up to put the strap around it and fasten it.
Yeah.
So there's the same thing that you got
to
do there.
Usually ladder stands are put there to stay there, or at least through the season. They're going to stay there the whole time. So usually, like I can give you an example in Missouri, when they would go set up stands, it would be a day where you had two or three people. We'd go out, put all the stands up together, and you have two guys that hold the ladder just like they normally would while the one guy shinnied up there and put the chain around it or the strap around it, tightened it down. Then you put the midsection one on there and then tighten it down. So it's not a one-man job. One-man job, you will fall.
You
if you
see,
tilt the wrong way, it's...
You should have seen me trying to put up one that... It was last year. I was trying to... A bear had kept knocking down a feeder I had for the hogs so people could... go shoot hogs. I turned around and the bear kept knocking it over. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to hang it from a big limb up there. Well, I leaned a ladder stand up against a limb on a big old oak tree and kind of tied it in different directions in order to get up high enough. It wasn't right.
That's too scary.
And I was out there by myself.
That's your first mistake.
Never do it by yourself, Bill.
You got a wife.
Number one rule.
You got a wife? She's willing to take a tick for you, isn't she?
Nope. Nobody else was there. Nobody wanted to go play.
And she ain't taking no tick for Bill, I can promise you.
No.
Why not?
Not unless he brought it home.
Well, okay. Well, this year you're going to use your strap-on tree stands, or are you going to try to break down and get one of those climbers that we were looking at?
I use the old equalizer entourage. I have a whole entourage. I use hangers. I use climbers. I use ladders. I use it all.
Ladders and climbers. No hangers. Don't like them. Never have.
Well, we looked at the higher level last week, and they're pretty interesting. I mean, they built a good-looking stand, and it's kind of like the Equalizer. The similarities are there.
Well,
but
this is the same company.
They're different companies.
But they changed the name. I thought that the Equalizer went out of business.
They did. They came back, but in the meantime, I guess it's such a good stand, someone else picked it up. And so they were there pushing and promoting their product. So,
well, we talked to them on the air. It was a good step. What is it? Buckhorn? Buckhorn?
Buckhorn Outdoors.
Yeah, Buckhorn Outdoors.
The Equalizer is what...
that thing is...
Which was the former thing, and then but they're a higher level.
Couldn't get them. I mean, I don't know how these are going, but I remember when it first came out with that crank system on there, forget it. It was a done deal. It changed the whole thing. You know, you could change the base or whatever all the way and keep it nice and level all the way up the tree.
That's a good concept, having that good design, regardless of who's making them, as long as they're made safe. But good product, because I've been in those trees, and I'm sure a lot of people that have hunted before had experienced the same thing with a climber. You'll get up there and then diameter of the tree changes, but you're still not at that level that you need to be. And you make some of those minor adjustments. That can be a little tricky. So, or you make that adjustment at the bottom and then only to be real cumbersome trying to get started until you get up to a certain elevation. But that one there kind of eliminates that issue. Once you get there, you just make the adjustment.
Back when I was young, you just turn around, sit down on the top section, lift the bottom section up, adjust it, and go on. As you're getting older and older, it's harder and harder to reach down and do all that stuff.
Well, that's what I was saying. After we got done talking to them on the air, we were talking about how, you know, there's times where, you know, you lose that foot piece, you lose that bottom section of it on a climber, and you got your rifle, you got your pack, you got whatever, if it's cold weather, you've got all that extra clothing on. You can't bend over like you did when you were practicing in the backyard on the palm tree.
Sure.
And,
nothing's the same when you're in the backyard.
No. And then, you know, you can't get down. You can't catch the rope. I told him the story of the one that dropped on me in Missouri where I had to, like, hang by my armpits, get my foot, my boot underneath the little brace on the side, turn it sideways on the tree and pull it back up and catch it up and hook it on, get it back on there where I could get it. It's not fun. It's scary. Because the whole time you're going, okay, if this doesn't work, I got to slide this piece over, get it over there, hug the tree, slide down, whatever it is to get out of here, and then figure out how I'm going to get all my stuff back down once I hit the ground. Oh, well. The things we go through. All right. We are the Big and Wild Outdoors. We're broadcasting live from the studio today. Glenn, Bill, Randy, and Braden. We're taking a fast break brought to you by G5 Outdoors. And Load Runner Trailers. We got to talk about G5 when we come back because it's getting closer.
So, I'm sure you heard the news. Social media sites are cracking down on private firearm sales. So if you're looking to sell or buy a new or used gun, or even looking to trade, do it the right way and head over to Deer Hunter Guns. Dan and his crew will give you top dollar for your used firearm, plus give you the best trade-in value if you're looking to upgrade. Deer Hunter Guns is doing it the legal way and can help you find what you're looking for. Or take that used rifle, pistol, or shotgun off your hands the legal way so you have peace of mind. Knowing your firearm isn't going to a complete stranger. Go sell your firearms to your friends at Deer Hunter Guns. Stop by today and get the best deal. 2797 Gulf to Bay Boulevard, across from the original Hooters. DeerHunterGuns.com. The Big and Wild Outdoor Safety Tips are brought to you by Sims Cranes, Florida's leader in safe, comprehensive vertical access solutions.
Leave the area if you suspect there's another hunter already working the same bird. Wave or make turkey sounds to alert another hunter of your presence. Never stalk turkey sounds. Remain still and speak in a loud, clear voice to announce your presence to other hunters if necessary. Always sit against a large stump, tree trunk, or rock that is wider than your shoulders and higher than your head when calling wild turkeys. Never wear bright colors, especially not red, white, blue, or black. Keep your hands and head camouflaged when calling. Ensure your decoy is not visible when you are transporting it. If you harvest a wild turkey, cover the bird's head and body when carrying it out from your hunting spot. Put your gun safety on and approach the downed bird with your firearm pointed in a safe direction. Never run with a firearm. If field dressing your turkey, be careful not to cut the craw, stomach, or intestines, as foodborne pathogens may be found in these organs. Rinse and wipe all the blood out of the body cavity with paper towels, and as soon as possible, place a bag of ice inside the body cavity for the trip home. Once home, completely wash your turkey inside and out and refrigerate immediately.
The Big and Wild Outdoor Safety Tips are brought to you by Sims Cranes, Florida's leader in safe, comprehensive vertical access solutions.
Hey, this is Jonathan Swindle of Arrowhead Archery Shop and co-host of Big and Wild Outdoors, here to tell you about a new product we're using at the ranch and carrying at the shop. It's HornMax Super 20 Mineral and Molasses Blocks. Both blocks are loaded with organic trace minerals, rich in protein, nutrients, and amino acids to maximize our southern deer herds. From buck to doe to fawn, you won't find a more complete product for your herd. Check them out at floridamineralonline.net or at Arrowhead Archery Shop. Pick up your HornMax Super 20 Mineral and Molasses Blocks today and start growing bigger deer.
It's 77 acres of first-class comfort and hospitality for your personal sports shooting as well as corporate and public events. The Fishhawk staff is always ready to set you and your family up for a memorable day of dusting clays. Conveniently located in Lithia, about 20 miles from downtown Tampa and less than 8 miles from Brandon, and is open 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday. Fishhawk Sporting Clays offers 4-person shooting carts, 12 and 20-gauge shotgun rentals, and the club also features a large covered pavilion with plenty of seating for your next big get-together. Fishhawk will happily host birthday parties, bachelor and bachelorette parties, team-building groups, family reunions, or any group of people who'd like to get together and have fun. For more information, go to fishhawkshootingclays.com. That's fishhawkshootingclays.com. And be sure to check out the events page for clinics and classes available throughout the year.
Did you know the biggest Ford truck dealer in the entire southeastern United States is right here, close to you? Which dealership? The answer shouldn't surprise you. Brandon Ford is the largest volume F-Series truck dealer in the Southeast, and the numbers don't lie. Brandon Ford sells more F-150s, more Super Duties, more lifted trucks, 4x4s, and diesels. And when a dealership sells more, there's always a reason, like the guaranteed lowest Ford truck prices, or one of the largest Ford truck inventories in America, with over 500 trucks available and on sale, or their award-winning sales team with years of experience who knows these trucks inside and out. Every day when businesses or customers need a truck, they choose Brandon Ford because Brandon Ford stocks more, sells more, and sells for less. So when you're ready for a truck, come see us at Highway 60 and 301 in Tampa, the largest volume Ford F-Series dealer in the entire southeastern United States. 24/7 at BrandonFord.com. If you want to pay less for a Ford truck, that's our business.
And yeah, welcome back, Big and Wild Outdoors. As we said before we went to the break, Braden's got all kind of good stuff to share with us, and I don't know what it is, but I'm sure...
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm just saying what you said.
They're calling in. I ain't got nothing good. I got nothing good, except for the rains. Thank you, Jesus, for the rains. The lakes are filling up. The rivers are flowing again. I think it's all good, man. All I hear from people around all the areas is it's nice to see... Water's filling back up again, especially around here. It's just been so bad.
Does that mean we don't have to watch Bill George do the rain dances anymore?
Thank goodness, because that means
every
he keeps
Saturday
his pants
morning,
on.
Man. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Doing the Pennsylvania. What are the Native Americans in Pennsylvania? Iroquois?
There are no more Native Americans in Pennsylvania.
What were the Native Americans up in Pennsylvania? Iroquois?
Know.
Wasn't that, was that Michigan? That's up where your neck of the woods. Wasn't it Iroquois? Oneida? Oneidas? I can't remember.
I think that was a Greek.
It was Lionidas. It was a different guy. It was a different guy.
I watched 300. I saw
too
it
too many
somewhere.
Times. That was King Lionidas. Different deal. Well, so we're back and talking Greek history, apparently. But no. During the break, somebody sent me this picture. It was a story attached to it this week and said, you remember we posted something on Facebook about the sighting of a shark up the Mississippi River and it caused a firestorm on our Facebook page and where people like, oh, that's fake. It's Photoshopped. It's, you know, everybody either poo-pooed it. And then you had a lot of people who were like, man, dude, I'm from there. We used to see him all the time and all that kind of stuff. So apparently This is one of the defenders of the Mississippi shark story. He sent this to me about the I found a bull shark this past week, 40 miles inland up the Trinity River in Texas. So that means that the Trinity River spills off into Galveston Bay. So this shark had to make it all the way up from Galveston Bay all the way up to the Trinity River, 40 miles inland, where this kid who was out riding around on a four-wheeler found the dead carcass of this bull shark lying on the bank of the river, which, of course, prompted a call to the game commission. And the officer came out and said, well, I took a look at the shark. I'm making the conclusion that the shark was deliberately dumped at this location because they said tracks from where it had been dragged into the water, as well as evidence of a hook. And I said, well, how do you make that determination? The kid said that he found it, drug it, stank it, and he was dragging it all over the place with a four-wheeler to get it out, take a look at it. And how many sharks have I ever caught in my life that had a hook in it or multiple hooks in it? I mean, I've sat on the side of the boat with bonnet heads before and pulled out five or six hooks out of its mouth before. So yeah, I don't know. They've been known to do it. So people say, you know.
Are you just hoping that the theory is that sharks can live up that far from the salt water?
No, they actually start the story by saying it is true that sharks, bull sharks especially, can swim that distance in fresh water. So, you know, the conclusion can be made that there is the possibility that it made it all the way up there. But the game commission said there's also the possibility that someone dumped it here.
Is that the same one that doesn't want to acknowledge that panthers are everywhere?
What is that deal? What is the thing with that this week? To change the subject. There's going to reevaluate the endangerment or whatever of the panther again. What is that all about?
Yeah, well, the panther thing is very complicated. And one of the things that we always go back to is the Florida panther is an endangered species.
It is.
It's extinct is what we've determined is it's extinct. There is no Florida panther left.
That's why
panthers that are living in Florida, which is a species that is isolated and non-contiguous throughout its historical range. But with the reintroduction of Texas cats and other cats into the state of Florida, the gene pool that was the Florida panther is really not there anymore.
It the same thing can be said. There is no such thing as a Florida black bear. They're of the same genome as the ones that live Correct. In Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi. I mean, all the way up the eastern seaboard. They're the same exact bear. Just because they live in Florida doesn't mean that they're Florida black bears. They're not indigenous to this region.
Well, that's just one of the things that people try and label it with to try and protect it. But the panther, nobody wants to go out there and open up a panther season in the state of Florida or do anything else. But with the feds having it on the endangered species list, it really limits what can be done to deal with conflicts with a panther, to do some relocations. You can't disturb it. You can't move it. There's
not without a federal biologist and your studies and a couple of university students there and, you know, whatever.
And so there's a lot of people who would like to see them delisted because of they have just devastated South Florida for the small game and deer. And it's just, you know,
it's not, you know,
it's bad.
You know, for us that live in the central part of the state or north of 64 or whatever, let's say, it hasn't been affected as much around here as it has in South Florida because of the sparseness of the communities down there. They still have a lot of area to roam down there, but it just goes to show you that even with all the area, remember the stories and all the stories that used to be on and the commercials used to run locally about, you know, that a panther needs 300 and something square miles, you know, to call the territory. You can't sit here and tell me with the number that they have down there, they're not overlapping territories.
Oh, it, that they're They're thick. And it's changing the behavior of the panther, too.
Sure, they're being more socialized when it comes to it. It's not like they were lone panthers anymore. They're learning to get along, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But the problem is that with the crossover of territories, that means that you may have 5 or 6 panthers hunting in the same area. And as you pointed out, they are decimating everything. They got to feed babies. And if they're feeding babies, then that's a lot of meat.
So, but, you know, looking at it from another the standpoint is if they can get declassified as an endangered species and keep them on a protected list, it gives FWC a whole lot more management of that species and in the ecosystem as a whole. But it's going to be a long, hard fight.
Do you think it is?
Oh, yeah.
Because
I think it's best just to leave it like it is. Don't worry about it. Let them do what they got to do. And then we ain't got to have no conflict, no fight, because there's not enough to even worry about taking them off the endangered species list. Just leave them where they're at and save the money for a better battle.
You know what? In a way, he's got a point, because you're going to let... Yeah. Let nature take its course. They're going to start starving out. They're going to start moving into different territories. They're going to get hit by cars.
They do that anyway.
Exactly. They're doing that at an alarming rate. But,
well, they quit building homes and no more cars.
Start finding the funding and how much funding is going towards that. Their recovery program is calling for 203 different sets of 240 adult breeding cats in the Southeast in order to determine it to be in order for it to come off the endangered species list. We can't even get them to acknowledge one set of 240, let alone 3 sets. Could you imagine trying to take one of those humongous populations of cats that are in South Florida and put one up towards Tallahassee?
They like northern beef too.
Sure.
Yeah, no, they do. Yeah. But
I like cats and dogs.
Or you know, how many come into Hillsborough County? County can't even take a bear.
No, they can't. And you know what's really funny is you wouldn't be allowed to dump a panther in Holmes County.
Because of the turkey?
Because of the turkeys. They're still trying to establish the breeding population of turkeys up in Holmes County.
Actually, they were going to open that full up this last year. And
they didn't.
And they didn't, because Chuck Eshney, as a hunter, said, hey, let's take a little bit slower, more conservative approach to open this up. And that's where a lot of people want to sit there and say, oh, the hunter, all they want to do is go hunt and kill stuff and this and that. Here we are, a hunter who... You can't say anybody's more for hunting than Chuck, okay?
Well, that's true.
He is, as a hunter, saying, well, maybe we're going a little faster than we should in this area. Let's keep the throttle down just a little bit.
It's been over 10 years, hasn't it? It's been over 10 years.
It's been a long time on the Holmes County thing.
Yeah, seriously.
If they've not been able to establish a population,
then maybe
there's
they
something
should go,
else. Yeah. Look at something different.
Then maybe they should be up there shooting coyotes and black bears, because they're obviously not doing anything to keep the turkey populations high. Or maybe we need to dump more cougars in there, and that way they'll balance it out. You know what I'm saying? You know, because, you know, according to the animal rights people, you know, if you just leave everything alone, it'll work itself out. And that is true. Half the population will starve to death, and the other half of the population will be decimated by the other half. So good luck with that.
Well, we have had some recent scientific studies with the DNA that have called and said, hey, you don't have a Florida panther anymore. So maybe we could get the feds on board. But anything in that arena with the feds is a many, many year process in order to go through that.
Okay.
We'll see.
I guess we will. Time will tell. I'm on the fence. I think Glenn's got a good point. Just leave it alone.
I think we ought to just do more fishing.
Let the F-250s take care of them.
Do more fishing.
as soon as they cross 64 or 70, boom, pow. Well, sorry, I'm called pound F-250. Hit a cougar. He's right here on the side of the road. Don't come pick him up. He's gone.
Well, the next hour, we will talk a little bit of fishing. That way we can change it up a little bit. And, Brayden, I got something to throw at you and see what you want to do. Maybe throw a speckled perch tournament together. I got another car dealership wanting to come in, a Chevrolet dealership, that is.
Speckled perch?
Yeah, do a tournament.
Crappies?
Don't say too much.
Sockleys?
Yeah. such a big response for our speckle or our shell cracker.
I say we
bluegill, the panfish challenge.
I say we do it at Crescent Lake. It'll be awesome.
That's what I was thinking.
Crescent.
And tilapia, the heaviest tilapia.
We'll do the
heaviest tilapia and speckled perch.
Should you bring your bow rig? Should you bring your bow fishing rig?
I wonder what would have happened if you had stuck that with a bow and then with an arrow and then throwed it up there on the bank. What would have been different? Well, throw it back if you want to. That was a willful, wantful, and waste.
Well, I'm saving it for when Bob calls, but I will tell you this much. Here's what I know. In Texas and in Florida, if you take it out of the water, you're not allowed to put it back in.
What now?
If you take a tilapia, an invasive species, out of the water, okay, you're not allowed to put it back in.
And what law is that?
You can't reintroduce an invasive species
to the water system.
Texas, so what are you going to get?
Texas, you immediately
you get for
have
that?
To kill
oh,
it.
Well, I threw it back, so what do you get?
Well, the thing is you have one person who removed it, and then you have another person who threw it back. So you have one person who introduced the invasive species back into the lake.
And you have also, he took and threw it back and it didn't belong to him.
FWC is investigating as we speak. We can't talk about it anymore. We'll let Bob talk all about it when he calls in. Okay.
And he showed me the video, and I have a question about a possible other violation.
Well, you can do what you got to do. But
there's no violation.
You're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait. As Glenn pointed out, you're going to have to wait till the next hour. Or maybe later. I don't know. Randy, you got anything to add before you go make us take some hard break at the top of the hour?
No, I'm eating my Egg McMuffin.
Is that what it is?
And I was wondering if cougars taste like chicken.
They are delicious, beef. Dude.
It's more of a beefy taste.
Oh, my gosh. We saw Felix at the Big Buck Expo. He was one of our big cat killers from way back. He got a huge one. Where was it? Utah or something?
I don't know where he was at. But
monster cat. And I was like, did you get a chance to eat it? He goes, oh, man. That stuff was so good. I was like, when are you going to go back? He goes, I don't know. That was an expensive hunt. I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to go again.
Well, he got checked off the thing to do, and that's what he did.
I said, well, if you're going to go, put me on the list. I'll take a hind leg. Because when we had it at the wild game dinner, fabulous meat. And mountain men used to say that they would prefer to eat mountain lion over elk. And that is saying something. That is amazing. All right, we're going to take a break. Top of the hour, Big and Wild Outdoors, brought to you by G5 Outdoors and Load Runner Trailers and Bill George, for some reason. We'll be back. Hunters and collectors know when it comes to firearms, service, and hard-to-find ammo, Deer Hunter Guns on Gulf to Bay is Tampa's go-to shop. For over 23 years, Deer Hunter Guns has always been the place to find knives, antique, and collectible firearms, plus rows and rows of new firearms. Deer Hunter Guns will buy, sell, trade, repair, or appraise all types of firearms and answer any questions about any firearm or product. Call Deer Hunter Guns today at 727-724-9038 or check them out online at deerhunterguns.com.
Did you know the biggest Ford truck dealer in the entire southeastern United States is right here, close to you? Which dealership? The answer shouldn't surprise you. Brandon Ford is the largest volume F-Series truck dealer in the Southeast, and the numbers don't lie. Brandon Ford sells more F-150s, more Super Duties, more lifted trucks, 4x4s, and diesels. And when a dealership sells more, there's always a reason, like the guaranteed lowest Ford truck prices, or one of the largest Ford truck inventories in America, with over 500 trucks available and on sale, or their award-winning sales team with years of experience who knows these trucks inside and out. Every day when businesses or customers need a truck, they choose Brandon Ford because Brandon Ford stocks more, sells more, and sells for less. So when you're ready for a truck, come see us at Highway 60 and 301 in Tampa, the largest volume Ford F-Series dealer in the entire southeastern United States. 24/7 at BrandonFord.com. If you want to pay less for a Ford truck, that's our business.
Join Mark Charles Wednesday nights at 11:05 for Outside Interference Wrestling Radio. Mark Charles hosts guest appearances by pro wrestling's biggest stars and takes your listener phone calls to get your take on the latest current events in the world of professional wrestling. Tampa Bay's business address Money Talk 1010 dims the lights for Outside Interference Wrestling Radio every Wednesday night at 11:05 p.m. Highlights and interviews on OutsideInterferenceRadio.com.
As hunters, we all know that planting a food plot in Florida is hard work and takes tons of water, fertilizer, and time just to keep it alive. Well, now there's a product that can make growing big deer on your hunting property as easy as unloading your cooler. It's Horn Max 20 Super Pro Mineral and Super Max 20 Super Molasses Block. This stuff is amazing for growing huge deer, and of course, your Florida deer will get all the trace minerals, protein, and amino acids needed for optimal nutrition in bucks, lactation in does, and fawn growth. Check out the full line of Horn Max 20 today at Florida Mineral. Online.net or click the link at bigandwild.com.
WHFS Sefner, WQYK FM HD2 St. Petersburg, 103.1 W276 CX Newport Richey.
Come on, boys!
From the backwoods and the swamp waters of the Sunshine State and all across America and the world, this is the Big and Wild Outdoors with your host, Braden Gunn, Jonathan Swindle, and Glenn Kinman.
And welcome back, hour number